Well, that's good. Look in your Bible this morning, if you would please, to the book of John. John chapter number 20, if you would please. I enjoyed all the singing this morning. I enjoyed the congregational singing this morning. I'd just like to share with you something. I like going to church. I just like being in God's house. I like serving the Lord. And I'm just glad that you're here today. I hope you'll be here this evening. I'll not be preaching on my wife's chicken pen tonight, so if you'll come, you might get something from the Bible tonight, other than what we had last week. On Wednesday night, I don't know if you were here or not. We showed a PowerPoint concerning my wife's chicken pen and the things I'd learned from my wife's chicken pen. And we had a great time Wednesday night. If you miss Wednesday night, you'll miss something around here, sure as the world. No telling what these guys might do. Brother Pickett might even show up one night on Wednesday nights. You can't ever tell. All right. Look in your Bible. I want to read for you just a few verses. I'll begin reading in verse 19. Of course, you know the context of the scripture, John chapter number 20. The resurrection has already taken place. And the ladies have been to the tomb. And there's been an announcement that he's not there. And they've already talked with our Lord. And I'm glad he's not in that tomb, aren't you? I'm glad he's not like all the other gods who's still in the graveyard. I'm glad we serve a risen Savior, aren't you? Because a risen God can do something for you. A dead God can't do a whole lot for you. So this is probably the first church service that took place on the first day of the week. Let me show you what I mean. Verse 19. And the Bible says, and the same day at the evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Man, I'd hate to have missed that service, wouldn't you? I said I would have hate to have missed that service. And then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. I would have hate to have missed that service. Wouldn't you? Gathered together in that room, scared, absolutely stiff of the Roman soldiers, the Jewish Sanhedrin, knowing for sure if they've crucified the Master, we're next. Scared absolutely out of their wits. And he walks in and says, don't sweat it. Everything's all right. Peace be unto you. Boy, I would have hated to have missed that service, wouldn't you? I know people today that are so confused. They remind me of a grasshopper sitting in the middle of the freeway with their hopper broken. They don't know which way to jump. Trying to raise kids, trying to buy $4 a gallon of gasoline, trying to pay the bills, trying to make ends meet. And they miss the services that where they can get hope and assurance and direction and peace. Man, I'd hate to have missed this service, wouldn't you? Well, let's go on. Verse 23, and he says, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. What a tremendous, tremendous service going on down yonder at the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem. You say, why would it be a Baptist church? I don't know, other than the Baptist baptized all of them. Now, I don't know if that means anything or not, but it should carry a lot more weight than some of that other stuff. But boy, I would have hated to miss that service. Look at the next verse. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. He missed it. Probably had something to do. Probably something of great importance swelled up and bargained for his time and attention. Probably the kids interfered. Whatever might have happened, man, I would have hated to have missed that service. It's getting quiet. Amen, Reverend. Is there any, boy, I lost my crowd. Hey, kids, you young folk, say amen for me, would you?
Amen.
Oh, you can beat that. Say amen for me.
Amen.
Boy, I'd hate to miss this service, wouldn't you? If you would please, I'd like to get a text out of the last verse. But Thomas was not with them when Jesus came. Would you let that sink down real deep? The resurrected Savior has walked out of the clutches of death, slammed open the tomb, walked out, not bound hand and foot, but walked out victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Has just defeated man's worst enemy. Has slapped death for an eternal loop. And he walks out of that graveyard and he's come to the first service after his resurrection. But Thomas had something else to do. But Thomas didn't see the necessity or the urgency. He was not there when Jesus came. Don't you think maybe we need to pray? Because some of you is already feeling under deep conviction or anger is rising high. Listen to me. I'm not here to hurt your feelings. I'm not here to make you angry. I am here to bring honor and glory to our resurrection Savior. Father, today, please help us as we study these portions of Scripture. Thank you for the folks who are here today. Speak to our hearts in a wonderful and glorious way, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The thought that I came upon when I read these verses was, but Thomas was not there with them when Jesus came. My question to you today is, what did Thomas miss? What was so all-fired, important, that the Holy Spirit of God would breathe upon John and have John pen for you and I and all that is ever to live these words? But Thomas was not with them when Jesus came. What did he miss? First of all, I'd like you to note these words upon the first day of the week. Is that significant? Why are we today worshiping and meeting on the first day of the week? Because that's the day our Lord resurrected. You say, preacher, is there biblical evidence? Acts 20 and verse 7, the Bible says, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. So in the New Testament, when Jesus rose from the dead, they changed the day of worship for the Christian to the first day of the week from the seventh day of the week. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2, and upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by and restore as God has prospered him. And the reason you and I are meeting on the first day of the week is because that's the day our Lord resurrected from the dead. And thank God for the first day of the week. Amen. You say, well, preacher, I just believe you ought to worship on Saturday. Where were you yesterday? Did you quit work Friday at 6 o'clock? Did you shut her all down? And where did you park your ox? And I ask you for just my information. Do you have clothes on with different materials in them? I'm just asking you. And if you built your house, did you build an embattlement around the top so that your kids couldn't fall off in the yard? See, all that goes with that seven-day worship business. And I thank you, I don't have an embattlement around the top of my house. And yes, I do have divers materials in my clothes. And have you to know, I'm not wearing anything but tainted to a woman. So, first day of the week is very significant. Now, note if you would please, in verse number 19, when Thomas was not there, the first thing he missed was he missed seeing Jesus. Now, I don't know if that makes any difference to you or not, but it sure would have me. Notice verse 19, the Bible says that he appeared physically. Jesus appeared physically to him. This was not a spiritual thing. It was not a vision. It was not a dream. The Bible says that he stood in the midst. That's physically. And he said, that means he spoke physically. So after Calvary, Jesus arose physically and appeared to those disciples in the room. Is that not so? So I don't know about you, but folks, if I'd have been those guys, I'd have wanted to see him after he rose from the dead. I don't know about you, but I would have really liked to have seen that. I'd really like to have been in the presence. I'd like to have seen how I would have reacted when he walked in the room and didn't open the door. Now, I know it wouldn't have bothered you, but I'll tell you, it scared me to death. Now, I know I wouldn't have bothered Willie Galwell. I know it would not have bothered him. Not at all. He would have said, thank you, Lord. I'm glad you walked in like that. And I'll tell you what I'd done. I'd have walked out the other door when somebody just walked through the wall. Wouldn't you have done that? And so I'd just like to have been there. I'd like to have seen that. But old Thomas, he wasn't there. He is doing something else. He had something more important than seeing Jesus. He had more important things to do than to watch and witness this omnipotent God walk right through the wall and talk to him. And he missed all of that. And I'm sure something was very important that would cause that, because it happens around here every Sunday. Notice verse number 20, if you would please. Not only did he miss seeing Jesus, but in verse number 19, he missed the impartation of peace. Now, how many Baptists you know that's taken Valium, uppers and downers, inners and outers, and everything in the world just trying to settle down? I mean, the pharmacy in Joshua would go broke if it were not for Joshua Baptist Church. Hello, come on, somebody say amen. And what we need is the peace of mind that passeth all understanding and everything in the world. Oh, if we could just find peace. Here these Jews are scared to death. These disciples just know that their life is on the line and they're scared to death. And the Lord walks into and says, peace be unto you. Now let me ask you something. Is there any houses, homes, husbands and wives, friends that need any peace? Well, you know where you get it? From the Prince of Peace. And you get it by coming to church. You get it by sitting by people who love you. You get it by talking to a preacher who loves you. You get it by just being around God's people. Can you say amen? And you get it by worshiping and singing those songs of Zion, talking about going to heaven, and quit worrying about the stock market and the gasoline prices. And for just a little while, we can come to the house of God and blot it all out and meet with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and He'll give us peace that passeth all understanding. And then you call the preacher and say, I don't understand what's going on in my life. Peace. He missed peace. Thirdly, notice verse 20. This would help any of us. Verse number 20, the Bible says, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side, and then with the disciples, what's that next word? Say what? Is that a Baptist word? Is this glad? No, this is glad. Wouldn't that be nice if some of we who are here this morning could leave this place glad instead of mad? You say, well, you don't understand what happened. Hey, it don't make no difference with Jesus. Listen to me. He's the daddy of glad. He's the initiator of glad. He's the whole part of glad. He's the one that can make you glad when you'd rather be mad. Can you say amen? And you know what we need? We need to come to his house. We need to meet with him. We need to see his nail-scarred hands. We need to witness his nail-scarred brow. We need to know what he's done for us. And we need to say, thank God that he's done it all for us. And we can leave this place not mad, but glad. Do you know it might be a supernatural thing, but somebody might get so happy, they might even act like it. Thomas wasn't glad. You know what Thomas did? You read on down there and Thomas said, I ain't believing nothing, you guys see. Thomas said, I wasn't here and I just don't believe none of it. Thomas is the only Baptist in the crowd. Come on now. Don't get mad at me. I'm not the reason for your responsibility. I'm just trying to help you with it. But Thomas, walking around pouting, said, well, I'm not going to believe unless I can thrust my hand in his side and put my finger in the nail-scarred hand. I'm not going to do it. Reminds me a lot of folks I know. And the other 11 disciples running around the house shouting, praising God. And old Thomas said, oh, it's all whooped up. It ain't going to last. Wildfire. It's not real fire. Well, I'd rather have wildfires, no fire at all. Amen. And what's happened? You know what really stirred my heart? But Thomas was not with them when Jesus came. What a shame. Well, I don't need it. Yeah, Thomas, you need it. I can tell your attitude right on down in three or four verses later down. Well, I don't need church. What are you doing here today then, sucking up our air conditioner? You don't need it? What you doing here? I'm sure the bar right down the street here is open. Well, I don't need church. Well, next Sunday, won't you try the bar out? You say, well, that's the darndest thing I ever heard anybody say. Well, you did understand it, didn't you? Since when did you get so sovereign, so self-sufficient, you don't need Almighty God? Since when are you the one that turns the air on at 5 o'clock every morning? Since when are you the one that grabs a hold of the sun and flings it out to the eastern sky so that all of we who are needy and enjoy the things of God, since when are you the one who flung the sun out so that we could... You don't need church. You don't need God. What are you doing here then? I think we got enough Thomases. Well, let's go on because I feel something coming on. He missed seeing the Lord, did he not? He missed the impartation of peace, did he not? He missed the joy of Jesus, did he not? Verse 21, he missed the commission and call. As the Father has sent me, even so send I you. And he could make excuse all he wanted to, but he was not there when God commissioned the rest of them. Right. Lastly, he missed the Holy Ghost. Verse 22, the Bible said when Jesus breathed on them, he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. How many can say amen? Amen. Boy, we need the Holy Spirit of God, do we not? Folks around town say Baptists have just forgotten all about the Holy Ghost. No, we haven't. We need Him more than we need life itself. Amen. I cannot be a good daddy without the Holy Ghost of God. I cannot be a good man without the Holy Ghost of God. I cannot be a good preacher without the Holy Ghost of God. And you tell me you do not need God and you do not need church. Well, you don't need life itself because the Holy Spirit of God is our life and our breath and our very being. Well, wouldn't it be terrible to miss that service? Wouldn't it be terrible to miss that service? Well, I don't know. I don't know where I come up with this, but I thought it'd be a good idea. And I thought we'd just have a good time this morning looking at the Bible. And there's just some things that I don't want to miss. Number one, I don't want to miss my funeral. I want to be there when all them sad faces walk by. Lying to my wife saying, he looks so good. I'm going to have my wife give me a sign. I'm going to hold it. And everybody walks by, it's going to say, I'm dead. Don't look good. I wore it out. Now I'm gone. Amen. I don't want to miss my funeral. I'd like to be there when it takes place. Lots of things I don't want to miss. Now, I have learned over the years, I don't want to miss my anniversary. Because if I miss my anniversary, I know I will not miss my death. Amen. There's a lot of things I like to miss. I'd like to miss my next birthday. Amen, Brother Pickett. Me and Brother Pickett's hung on there about 70, right, Brother Pickett? We kind of hung in there. And it seems it won't move. But now I've got some things in the future I don't think that you'd want to miss. Because I don't want to miss them. I'm going to give them to you real fast. Then I'll go back and we'll look at them for just a little bit. Is that all right? Some things I don't think you want to miss. Old Thomas. I don't know why. The Bible don't say why Thomas missed this meeting. But God thought it was so important that he penned it in the eternal word of God. But Thomas was not there when Jesus came. Well, I'd like to be there, wouldn't you? First thing I don't want to miss, I don't want to miss the service. Second thing I don't want to miss is I don't want to miss the shout. Third thing I don't want to miss is I don't want to miss the supper. The next thing I don't want to miss is I don't want to miss the saddle. And the last thing I don't want to miss, I don't want to miss the singing. That's going to be heaven. Can we take our Bibles this morning for just a minute? And I want to show you why I don't want to miss the next service at Joshua Baptist Church. Is that all right? Now, I'm not talking about next Sunday. I'm talking about tonight. And I'm talking about Wednesday night. And I'm talking about Sunday morning. I'm going to tell you why I do not want to miss the service. Because where two or three are gathered together, somebody said, there I am in their midst. Is that what you, have you ever read that Bible? Have you ever read that in your Bible? Have you ever read it? If you've read it and your Bible is a red letter Bible, it's probably penned in red. Is that not so? And Jesus is the speaker and he said, Brother Brian, to you and I, as sorry as me and you both know, as sorry as you are, And as sorry as a sinner as you and I have been in our past life, and thank God for grace, amen, and good women who will put up with us, amen. Amen. Did you know that Jesus Christ said, when you and I meet in His name at Joshua Baptist Church, if all the rest of them are Thomases, and all the rest of them are busy doing what they're going to do, and all the rest of them does not care, did you know, Brian, when you and I meet in His name, He said He would be there. I don't want to miss Him because I'm coming tonight. You say, well, you don't understand, the Olympics are on. Boy, I didn't know that. I had no idea that the Olympics were on. I just don't want to miss being with Jesus. And He promised tonight that He'd be here. Is that not so? Now let me ask you something. If the president or Obama, or Hillary, or somebody else that you hold in high esteem, was going to be our guest tonight, we could not hold the crowd that would be here. And of all the people in the world that you could call dishonest, it would be those who I just mentioned. You dig long enough and you'll find something ugly and unscrupulous in their past. When the sovereign King of glory has said to you and I, I'm going to be here tonight. I kind of wish you'd come. I'm not going to miss service because I don't want to miss Him. You say, well, that's just a bunch of people down there and they all are hypocrites. Well, come on in. There's room for another one. You won't feel uncomfortable that way. Yes, we all are just play actors. We're all just sinners saved by grace. We're all on our way to heaven, not because of what we've done, because of what He's done. Is that not so? And buddy, when I realize what He's done for me, He bled for me, He died for me, He arose for me, He's seated at the right hand of God today for me. And I'm telling you tonight, I'm coming to church because He'll be here with us. And that's why I'm coming. I'm not missing the service. I don't know about you, but I like to hear you sing. Please return the favor. See, I used to be the only singer here. I sung the specials. I sung the congregations. I sung the invitations. I sung just the song. Then we hired professionals. Brother Pickett. I have not been asked to sing since I hired Brother Pickett. But I want you to know something. I love to hear the congregation sing the old songs of Zion. March into Zion. Saved. Amazing grace. Man, that just does something to my old kicker. Makes me want to keep a going. Is that not so? Now, that's better than sitting home watching Hugin's Hellions or something else that I can't pronounce. So I just don't want to miss the service, folks. And I just don't want to miss the service. Why? Because He'll be here. He'll be here. See, He's not hanging on a cross someplace. Not laying in a glass casket someplace. I can tell you where Jesus will be tonight at 6:30. You want me to tell you where He'll be tonight at 6:30? He'll be right here. He'll be right here. And if you come in the right frame of mind and you come with the right spirit and you come with the right attitude, I'll guarantee He'll meet with you. He will speak to you. He will touch your life. And you'll be different as a result of it when you leave this place. I just don't want to miss the service. Secondly, I do not want to miss the shout. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Take your Bible there if you would, please. You say, now, preacher, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. The Bible says, I'm looking at verse number 13. Would you look at that with me, please? I do not want to miss the shout. Look at the Bible. The Bible said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Now, if I preached a sermon on that subject, why you brethren are so ignorant, would you get mad at me? Paul said 5 times in his writings, I wish you were not so ignorant. Ignorant does not mean stupid. It just means uninformed. You haven't been informed in this subject. And so he goes on, concerning them which are asleep or are dead, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. You see, when I go to the graveyard, I don't have to cry. I can shout. I've been back to my father's grave one time, and it was because somebody had forgot to mow the graveyard, and I went and mowed it. And my family don't understand why I don't like going to the graveyard, because my daddy ain't there. And I preached my father's funeral, and I sung at my father's funeral. And you say, preacher, how did you get to it? How did you get through it? Because I knew my daddy wasn't in that casket. My daddy was seated at the right hand of God the Father. And I wasn't too worried about that. And I sorrowed, of course, but not as those that have no hope. Have you ever seen anybody put a loved one in the grave with no hope? We don't have to do that. For, look at verse number 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, do you believe that? I said, do you believe that? Even so, the Bible says, if you believe that he did so, even so them which are asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are dead or asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a what? With a what? I don't miss that. I don't miss that. I don't miss that. With a shout, and with a what? And with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and now notice, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's when the Lord comes back for his own. You got that? Verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend with a shout. Now verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So it's not going to be long. And I believe it could be any time now. And boy, if it's on a Wednesday night or Sunday at 6:30 or Sunday at 10 o'clock, what if Jesus came back during one of our services? We could write about you, but you were not there with the disciples when Jesus came. Now, I know this is boring to some of you, but it ain't near as boring as it is hard. Amen. I just do not want to miss the shout. I want to be ready when Jesus comes. I don't know about you, but when I was raised as a kid, the old timers used to look for Jesus all the time. Man, if the weather got bad and lightning and thunder in the country where I was raised back in Tennessee, I mean, the old timers was looking for Jesus all the time. How long has it been since you even thought about it? Saved. Got a Bible in your hand. The Holy Spirit in your heart. How long has it been since you gave a conscious thought that the Lord could be back today? Amen. Well, boy, I'm glad of that, because the Bible said he comes back when you think not. So he could be back any moment. And I tell you, I just don't want to miss the next service of the Joshua Baptist Church. And I don't want to miss the shout. And thirdly, I don't want to miss the supper. I like what Revelation chapter 19 says. It talks about the supper. Talks about the supper. I like that, don't you? Revelation 19 talks about the supper the Last Supper, and it talks about, and I'm glad it didn't say lunch. You know, all my life, folk been trying to straighten me out on that deal. It said, well, it's breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And I said, no, it is not. That is not biblical. It is not right. It's the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, what's going to happen is Jesus is going to come to our service and fellowship with us. That'll be the service. The shout will be when Jesus comes back for his own. The supper is when Jesus comes to fellowship with his own. And the Bible talks about there will be people from the east and the west, and they'll sit down with Abraham and Jacob and Isaac, and it's just going to be a great supper in the sky. After the rapture, of course, there'll be tribulation on this earth for 7 years. And during that time, there'll be the judgment seat of Christ and the marriage supper of the Lamb and everything going to be going on in heaven. And I'll tell you, I don't want to miss that supper. Amen. I don't know what they're going to be serving there. Probably if you're from Texas, it'll be steak. Either that or catfish. Whole catfish, no fillets. I don't know what's going to be there, but I know one thing. I don't want to miss it. I'm going to be there. When the service takes place, I'm going to be there. When the shout takes place, I'm going to be there. And when the supper takes place, I'm going to be there. Can anybody say amen? And I don't want to miss the shout or the supper, and I certainly do not want to miss the saddle. Revelation chapter 19. Look in your Bible, if you would please. Revelation 19. I'll show you something. Now, the shout is when he comes for his own. The supper is when he fellowships with his own. And the saddle is when he come in with his own. You got that? I said, you got that? Look at Revelation 19. First time I read this, I was soul winning with my preacher. I'd been saved about 2 weeks. He was trying to win somebody to Christ. He read this verse, these scriptures. I got so scared, I went home shaking, buddy. I was so glad I was saved. I did not know all of it. I didn't understand all of it. But I was just glad I was saved when I heard these verses. Revelation chapter 19. Look at it with me, please. How many folk believe the Bible? Verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. White horse. Now, what kind of animal did he ride into Jerusalem on when they strode those fig leaves? And a donkey, right? A white donkey. Is that right? A white donkey. I wonder what's significant about that in the biblical times and the Eastern customs. Yeah, you know, they had a watchman on the wall. You knew that, to protect all the cities and all the peoples. And the watchman was on the wall, and he was to be watching across the horizon for any approaching armies or any approaching folk. And by the steed that they were riding, it said to him why they were coming. And if coming across the country was Solomon or one of the other kings, and he was riding on a majestic white mule, arrayed with his army behind him, they had no fear because he was coming in peace. But if he was on a white horse, they better shut the gates because he's not coming in peace. He's coming to take over. He's coming to rule and to reign. You're fixing to be his victim. Well, now, the first time our Lord rode into Jerusalem and proclaimed himself to be Savior, humble and low. And he rode into town on a white borrowed colt. Well, he's parked that vehicle. The first time he came as Savior, the next time he's coming as Sovereign. The first time he came riding on a donkey, this time he's riding on a horse. First time he come to serve, next time he's coming to rule. You'll not vote on this time. Pilate can't wash his hands. It's all over. And I saw heaven open. The Bible says, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. I don't want to miss this. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written, and no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And by the way, that last vesture he wore was dipped in his blood. This vesture is not dipped in his blood. It's dipped in the blood of the wicked, ungodly nations that have rejected him and ridiculed him and mistreated his people. And he has a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him. Here it is, upon white horses. There's the saddle. I don't want to miss it. I'm going to take riding lessons. I'll be ready. Lord, if you're listening, I got my spurs on. Lord, if you're listening, I'm ready to ride. Lord, if you're listening, I am just listening for the shout. I'll be ready for the supper. And dear God, I'll be ready to ride with you when you come back to straighten this stinking, hellish mess out. I'm not worried about who gets president, whether it's Cain, Obama, Hillary, or Hillary's uncle. No sweat. No sweat. Because I know who's running the show. Are you listening to me? Bill did not throw one kink in how this old earth revolved. Hillary has not added one second to one day. Obama, he might think he has. But he's not the one making the sun rise and the sun set. And may I say to you that my life does not revolve around Washington, D.C. It revolves around Jerusalem and what goes on in that place. Can you say amen? So I am not only do I not want to miss the next service. I don't want to miss the shout. I do not want to miss the supper. I do not want to miss the saddle. And I certainly do not want to miss the singing. What's going to take place? I thought somebody said in my Father's house are many mansions. And that was something. Didn't somebody say that? Didn't somebody say, I go to prepare a place for you? Didn't somebody say, and if I go, I will come again, receive you unto myself? Hey, if you can sing down here, bless God, you can sing up there. If you look in the book of the Revelation, chapter 4, a new song. Chapter 5, a new song. In chapter 15, a new song. In heaven, we're going to be singing, but it's not going to be wop bop a loop wop a wop bam boom. It's going to be about our Savior, and He's worthy. Can you say amen? He's worthy. He died. He bled. He was buried. He rose again. He's seated at the right hand of God. He's the Creator. He's the Sustainer. He's the one that's going to shout. He's the one that's going to make the supper, didn't he say, and I'll make you, I'll prepare a table for you in where? In the presence of thy enemy. Is that what he said? And then he said, surely mercy and goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And what's the rest of it? I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I do not want to miss the service. I dare not miss the shout. I don't want to miss the supper, and I'm not going to miss the saddle. And bless God, I'll be there for the singing. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace, and He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Amen. I'm ready for the singing. I'm ready for the shout. Don't give up. Don't give out. Don't get discouraged. Don't get peeled off at somebody. Don't get mad at God. Don't drop out. Dear God, you need the next service. If you don't hear the shout before the next service. And I promise you, you'll enjoy the supper. And I promise you, you'll enjoy the ride and the saddle. Now, Brother Clint didn't make it, but I've got one he made for me. And I'm taking it to heaven with me. It'll be in my casket when you folk walk by. And I'll just have a sign there, say, I'm getting my horse ready for the saddle. Amen. That's good, Wouldn't it be a shame to miss any of that? Wouldn't it be a shame to miss the shout? Oh, let me read you this. I read this today and I'm done. What time is it? Oh, I'm going to be done in time to go to eat. 'Twas the night before Jesus came and all through the house. Not a creature was praying. Not one in the house. Their Bibles were laying on the shelf without care in hopes that Jesus would not come there. The children were dressed crawling into bed. Not once ever kneeling or bowing a head. And Mama in her rocker with baby in her lap was watching the late show while I took a nap. When out of the east there rose such a clatter, and I sprang to my feet to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters, and threw up the sash. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but angels proclaiming that Jesus was here. With a light like the sun sending forth a bright ray, I knew in a moment this just must be the day. The light of his face made me cover my head. It was Jesus returning just like he had said. And though I possess worldly wisdom and wealth, I cried when I saw him in spite of myself. In the book of life which he held in his hand was written the name of every saved man. He spoke not a word as he searched for my name. When he said, "It's not here," my head hung in shame. The peoples whose names had been written with love, he gathered to take them to his Father above. With those who were ready, he rose without a sound, while all the rest was left standing around. I fell to my knees, but it was too late. I'd waited too long, and this settled my fate. I stood and I cried as they rose out of sight. Oh, if only I had been ready tonight. In the words of this poem, the meaning is clear. The coming of Jesus is drawing near. It's only one life, and when comes the last call, we'll find that the Bible was true after all. We're waiting. We're waiting for the shout. Looking with great anticipation to the supper. Readying ourselves for the saddle. Tuning our voices for the singing. Yes. But if you're not saved, you're going to miss all of that. If Jesus is not your Savior, you have missed all of that. You'll be standing here when all of God's people goes home. When all the time the Bible said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You don't have to be white. You don't have to be black. You don't have to be red, yellow, or what. You don't have to be a Baptist. You don't have to be what. All you need to be is just a child of God. To as many as receive him, Christ, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Oh, wouldn't it be terrible tonight to be laying in your bed next to the one you love, and suddenly you looked over and the bed was gone, empty. You run to your little kids' rooms and their beds are empty. And you wonder what in the world is wrong. You turn them over to the police department, Missing Persons Bureau. You missed a shout. You missed it. All because of pride. All because of this or that. There's nothing in this world big enough to send you to hell except yourself. You need to be saved today. You don't want to miss the shout. You don't want to miss the supper. You don't want to miss the saddle. And certainly don't want to miss the singing.